This week on RSVMB Update, progress continues to be made to restore the locked out accounts. The community asks, should updates resume Monday, and what kind of compensation should we expect? Then, we unbox some RuneScape at 20 collectible merchandise. This is RSVMB Update, episode 821, recorded Friday, March 19th, 2021. The RuneScape Restoration Project. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSVMB Update. Yes, we are a little bit late on the draw for this one. I'm just still going to try and get this out on Friday, but nonetheless, we wanted to get the latest in terms of login lockout news to you guys. It's just myself and Tanis here. Welcome back, Tanis. Always good to sit down with you to do these.
Thank you, Shane. Good. it's nice to only have two. It was nice and intimate for this, whatever we want to call it that we're going to do.
Yeah, and you know, this is becoming a bit of a trend here. And, you know, we'll talk a bit about this when we get to some of the decisions that were made on this, because, you know, I can see why the decisions were made. I personally don't have an opinion yet on them, as this is developing news as of only a couple hours ago. But, of course, I'm talking about login lockout, intrinsic keys, whatever, big word like that. But nonetheless, welcome back to RSVMB Update, everyone. You can check us out. Full show notes at update.rsvmb.com. And also, if you want to support us on Patreon, we have that too at patreon.com/rsvmb. And this week, in addition to login lockout, I also have a little bit of a fun little package to unbox that came from the UK with some wrapping paper on it that says RuneScape at 20. So we'll do that after we talk about the live stream. We also
did
have
you get your Lysol out? Hey, you got Lysol?
No, I don't do that to packages that come in.
It's from the UK, Shane.
Yeah?
You better spray that down.
Why? Are we talking about the COVID situation?
Well, yeah, the COVID. And check it for bugs from the Cambridge mob, too.
Well, to be fair, I don't think we need to worry about the exact packages. It's been in transit for about a week now. The outer box has already been quarantined, you could say. And I hope that the Cambridge mob would choose not to bug me. I would hope so. But, I mean, you never know what we might say on here, right?
Never know.
Okay. So this week, Mod Mike and Mod Warden gathered with Mod Hooli today on Friday to provide another update as to where everything was at in terms of the login lockout. They talked about this on live stream. They went on for about 45 minutes or so. And, you know, this was an interesting live stream because it had been initially postponed earlier in the week because there was nothing new to talk about. And, you know, rightly so, why waste people's time if there's nothing new to talk about? So I think that was the right move for that. And as it was, this is what we're going to wind up talking the most about this week, because this is something that has been ongoing for a while. And I think everybody has been extraordinarily patient with it so far, which is wonderful. And I'm just going to go through these and, you know, feel free to jump in and stop me at any point that you think we should discuss this. I'm going to raise up some of these points too. But the biggest focus up to this point has been testing with JMOD accounts and a lot of investigation works behind the scenes to fully understand the situation of what was going on.
Yeah, this is, this makes me have questions, and it's a reoccurring question that I have kind of all the way through.
Uh-huh.
I mean, just all the way through the live stream, because I don't know how I feel about it either, right? Like, I'm like, this is really complicated. This is one of those issues.
You betcha. You betcha.
It's not easy. You can't just be like, and jump one way or another, because I don't know. It's one of those really hard ones when you see why things were done the way they were, and you almost can't fall either side.
Right.
So you're like, this is...
And we need to underscore how complex of a system it is to save anything on a computer or a network system, let alone a game with 20 years of legacy behind it. We're talking about a system that's complex that, you know, there's probably only a handful of RuneScape players could actually comprehend what's going on there. I don't put myself in that group. I know you don't put yourself in that group.
Well, and speaking of that group, these were JMod accounts, right?
That like, they were started to test it on. Yes. JMod personal accounts.
Right. So how many JMods could there possibly have been that were affected?
Yeah.
That makes me go, okay, how many people are really affected?
Right. And you see, I've had a similar thing too. You know, Clan Quest is a clan with, you know, 480 members, probably about 150 active. And just from there, not counting the podcast people who listen to this podcast, I know of at least a dozen people through Clan Quest and my surrounding communities who were affected. So yeah, I think it's probably a little bit more than 1%, perhaps.
Well, and it's and the I'm not trying to like yeah, and I've already heard and seen, you know, like a bunch of backlash on the 1% number. What I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking. I mean, yes, that's the number they gave. Okay, fine. And even that wasn't acceptable, and they were doing the proper things.
Yeah.
But even last week, I thought it seemed bigger than that. And I'm not talking anecdotally. It's not that I know people that were logged out. I'm judging by Jagex's reaction versus their reaction to other things in the past and this and that.
Oh yeah, this is by far the biggest.
I know it's an apples and oranges kind of deal, yeah. But at the same time, I thought with this live stream, you could really, really tell. I'm like, now think about it. They've stopped updates for 2 weeks to work on nothing. That's never happened before.
Yeah,
I can't ever think of that ever happening before.
And to me, that sense means it's a matter of ensuring that all the resources available to this project get put on it, and also that there's nothing new introduced into the system that could potentially throw wrinkles in down the line as the restoration work continues. I think that's why we don't want any big updates going forward until they knew the system was going to work.
Yeah, no, I mean, other than one, you know, decision that we'll talk about later. I'm pretty on board. I think they're doing the right things by being super careful, but they're being so careful that it makes me go, okay, well maybe it's affecting more. Maybe this is a little more prevalent than what I thought.
Yeah.
Because they're really going all hands on deck.
And this isn't a criticism for the way it's been handled at all. I think you and I can both agree that everything we've seen so far has been handled exactly the way that it needed to be handled, from the taking care of the user's accounts all the way up to the communicating that went with
this. Yeah, even if it was a fraction, okay, say it's like it's a tiny 1%. If that was truly the case, and it's going to be the case depending on how you're defining what that pool is, right? Whatever your bigger number is, right? So, I mean, what have you. But even if that was the case, like, that's even more to their credit, right? Because they would take everything that seriously for that few of accounts. Like, and I'm not, I mean, every account's important, but at the end of the day, I've never seen them react this way.
Yeah, you got to get this.
And I just have to, I have to go, huh? I've never seen this.
Yeah, I think it would be interesting once this is all said and done and everybody's happy to see just, you know, a number of how many were affected. It doesn't have to be an exact number, you know. If it was 1,100, say 1,100. If it was 1,766, just say, you know, 1,750. You don't need to give an exact number. Just give a ballpark number on that. I think that would be an interesting thing to know based on this. And, you know, Mod Warden said for himself, it highlights a lot of learning that he's done about what 20 years of the RuneScape architecture looks like. And ultimately, RuneScape is going to come out better from this episode.
Yeah, and I latched on to that because I thought, it, in a way, it surprised me, and in a way, it didn't. Because, you know, like, after 20 years of holding things together with duct tape and, you know, bubble gum and this and that, that they're actually, this has forced them to sit down and go, oh, this is how that works, or this is why they did this, or, you know, what have you.
Yeah.
That's what they were saying on the stream, and I'm like, that makes sense, but at the same time, I was kind of like, part of you thinks, well, you guys make the game, right? You have to know everything about it. Like, you know everything. But then I was like, but they don't, because these people weren't there from the beginning. Like, they've come and they've gone.
Right, and then you start questioning what kind of documentation exists.
Yeah.
Yeah. How long have people like Mod ZZ and ID0 been involved in it, and how much of the original stuff that Andrew and Paul wrote back in the day is still running things, right?
I don't know how long they've been employing wizards, but they definitely have found a couple.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we'll see, but I don't know. Those two seem like straight up.
Reiteration, of course, also that the top priority is to put people's minds at rest and that the accounts will be all right. And they've equated this to being a forensic science exercise to piece everything together for people's accounts. Mm-hmm. Which, when you
and
think
see,
about
this
it,
is the thing that it's kind of blowing my mind. Like, yes, I know it's a month, and it's a month of gameplay. I mean, I know, but in the easiest thing would have been like, man, we're really sorry we lost a month, and done some very generous like compensation.
Yeah, we'll package. Get there. We'll get there, because that was also talked about here with this too, and that's starting to form itself up. And going forward, there'll be a beta this coming Tuesday, March 23rd, where they'll let a small number of players start giving feedback about the status of their accounts and the initial communications about the beta happening to the affected accounts have already gone out today. The objective of the beta is going to be look at all things that are not seen from a high level on their data end and learn what's not known about the process going forward. Which, you know, entirely makes sense, because you can have those things that just kind of crop up, right?
Yeah.
So, we don't have any...
I mean, I was really surprised to hear that they were doing a beta for... it really makes this something else. Not really a bug, not really a glitch, it's almost like it's something else, because...
It's all about getting it right.
Yeah, and they're really trying to get it right. And that, see, everything points back to that central question, right? Like, I don't know whether to praise them or to be like, how many of them are
right
there?
Right. And we don't want to, you know, put any gas on that fire. There's plenty of places who are already going to do that, and I've seen that start happening. And, you know, it's actually interesting that you mentioned that, because I touched on that exact same thing, too, before this happened. I wrote an Informer article on Wednesday about this, and this was before some of those things started popping up in the community. And I wrote that, you know, there are always going to be those people who are going to doubt what's going on, but at the end of the day, it's about the resolution and the communication going forward. I'd even go so far as to say is that, you know, barring anything going wrong through this, this is going to be the crisis that builds Mod Hooli's communications team and gives them the credit to operate
and
going forward.
I thought I've noticed there's been noticeable change in that as well, I believe.
Yeah.
Over the last,
I wonder if they're being advised by anyone on that. Because, you know, you can hire out crisis management things to crisis management advisors on that. You can't hire.
Well, this is about as crisis as it can get in the space. But, yeah. You know, and I'm not like the stuff that I've seen, I didn't really even see until after the stream today, but it's conspiratorial in a different kind of way. Like, it's in a negative way. It's like, they're not saying, oh, Jagex is really going over the top to fix this. They're like, boogie, woogie, woogie, you know? Like, you're all going to lose your accounts, you know? I'm like, it's different than what I'm
So you agree there was a notable change in tone this week then?
Yeah.
From areas. Okay. Because I felt that too, and I haven't gone on to the place that shall not be named where, you know, things can go good or bad. But
yeah, I mean, a lot of that, I mean, once you get their hackles up, that's when it's going to happen. That's what I'm saying. I noticed it after the stream today because they had something to gripe about.
Right. And the objective of the beta is going to be to just look at all things that are not seen, and only the players are aware of what the accounts really look like. So that's why they're doing that. They aim to see what stage everything is at by Thursday or Friday of next week. And to sum this whole process up, you can imagine stage one being about the investigation, stage two being the time when they would gain a low-level understanding of what the players' game data looked like and how everything was working together. Stage three was creating the test plans for the JMOD accounts, and the goal with this stage was to have a high degree in confidence that something can ultimately be restored for the player accounts going forward. Because, you know, as Mod Warden has said, I think he used the term canary in the coal mine for those JMOD accounts for that. So we're looking at Tuesday for the first players getting their hands back in on an account. And stage four will be the beta testing phase with a focus on account integrity. And with that, I think we can go into talking a bit about some of the compensation that came up, and or talks of compensation. One of the things that they're doing straight off the bat is a 31-day membership credit to all those accounts that were affected, so nobody's membership will lapse, nobody will lose grandfathered in rates. They'll just get an extra 31 days of membership on top of what they had previously, and they called this the interim starting point. The starting point. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the starting point, is to stop the bleeding, right? Like, that's the least you can do for people, is to say, well, you're not going to get even this mess up isn't going to be a chain reaction, so that you get an even worse mess up. You know, like, we are aware and we're going to stop it.
Yeah. Anything that the players have missed on progress will ultimately be extended. So this means things like Yaktrak and Vic the Trader are two key examples that will be returning in April once everything has settled down. And when players ultimately do return to their accounts, there will be a package of in-game items available for those affected. And they'll take careful note to know that there will be packages that will be tailored towards specifically the Iron Man game mode, so that, you know, we're not necessarily going to see players getting a huge influx of keys and lamps, because, you know, what good would that be for Iron Man, right? So they're going to tailor that specifically.
They're Iron Man. They're living out there in the elements, man. So
yeah, but they want to ensure that the value associated with everyone's account is felt with that, and I think that's good. And, you know, we can dive into a bit more about our ideas on what we'd do with that in just a bit. We do have a question on that.
See, that's hard for Iron Man, though, because, like, really all you kind of have is membership, because the whole feeling, the whole idea, it's all about doing. You can't compensate for that, for them, for that kind of an account, you know what I mean, other than membership, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah. This would be an interesting discussion. And they're thinking in terms of what players would want rather than something like Keys or Oddments. So let's get our thinking caps on for that one, because we do have a question on that. Now, here's where the news is really fresh as of, just an hour ago. Initially, it was announced that game updates would return on Monday, March 22nd with the Rex Matriarchs, but that game update has been postponed. Special message from Mod Warden out this afternoon or this evening. Thanks to all of you who joined us for our stream and have been responding throughout this evening following the news of our decision to return to major game content beginning on Monday. We hear you, and that's why, as of tonight, we pushed out our plans to bring back major content releases. What we've seen tonight is a spirit among so many of you, impacted or not, that you want to stand shoulder to shoulder with your fellow citizens and enjoy major content releases at the same time. I got this call wrong, and thank you for letting us know how you feel. However, reflecting on the situation, it's also important to the community that any decision to delay major game content releases does not come at the cost of any content plans for the year. This is a balance we'll be bearing in mind, and we've seen some great suggestions from all of you on where we can potentially draw that line. We don't have all the answers right in the here and now. We've just changed plans after all. But we will at least hold the release of the Rex Matriarchs until further notice. Thank you for all of your passionate responses, and we'll talk about this more in detail next week. So, one of the things that I became aware of very quickly today after this live stream was that the PVM community, in particular, didn't want the update to go forward, because if there are PVMers who are locked out, it's, as they say, the best day to do a boss is on release day, just because of, the profitability and the rush factor associated. So I think that was one side that was talking. Another side, of course, as Mod Warden said, is that people just wanted to stand in solidarity with the impacted accounts to ensure that everybody will be, effectively returning on the same footing. Now, yep. The really interesting part about this, and you and I touched on this briefly in pre-show, is that you and I have no idea what we think on this, because this is news that came out only an hour and a half ago.
Well, this is, one, it's only an hour and a half ago. This is what, people, were upset about, rightly or wrongly. I don't know. I'm still trying to put that together, because it's like, I know how I lean, but at the same time, I'm sitting here going, it's a hard call. Do we hold the vast majority of players in the game back until we can finish this, this major fix or whatever?
Yeah.
Or do we go ahead and go forward knowing that we're pretty confident that this fix is going to work? We'll throw it in beta so nothing crazy can happen, and then put it in when it's ready.
Right.
And I think they were surprised
I'm surprised too. And I think what's happening here is that, and people might correct me if I'm wrong on this, and sure, there's the PVMers economic side to be made, there's a standing in solidarity argument to be made as well, but the feeling I have personally is that this login lockout issue is in effect unfinished business, and it doesn't feel right putting out a new piece of tentpole content while it's still going on. That's the sense that I get from this personally.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there, Shane. That actually makes a lot of sense. That is something that the community would probably react to more than anything else, because they've seen it.
Yeah.
And so the matriarchs, the last thing. Well, no, but they've seen a problem not get completely fixed before more content came out.
Right, and then it gets brushed off to the side.
And I think you're right. I think in this case, it's
that's
like,
what they're seeing. But we, you know, you can't just leave this kind of thing handling. It will be fixed.
Yep.
And I don't think the community is articulating this in the clear sense. And I think based on what I've read, what I've seen, I think that's the sense that's going there. But personally, for me, I wouldn't know which way to go, whether we should delay this another week or if it should go forward on Monday. Personally, I still don't know as I'm talking to you guys right now.
I think you have to hold the content back. And the reason I think that is twofold. One, it forces everyone to be working at their best because it's job one, right? Like if there's a hole in the submarine, everyone's job is to plug it, period. There are no other jobs. Like, that's the job. And, you know, plus the other reason I think that, you know, that's probably a better route is because optically it looks like you're not leaving anyone behind. But you're going to catch hell from one side or another, right?
Oh, yeah,
like, because you could make the argument that why would you do that when 99% of the players don't have a problem? Like, why make everyone suffer because of the one? Like, you could have made that argument.
Right. You could totally make that argument. You could also say that, hey, this is content that our devs want to see come out. This is content that people have been shown 2 weeks ago and are waiting to play and they want to play it. Granted, it's only 1% of the players that are affected, but there's 98% of you guys who are going to be able to experience this on Monday. Enjoy. You're right. They could have gone down that path. And the one thing I'm personally not sure of is it the vocal minority speaking today, or is this a sentiment that's widely felt across the fabric of the game? And unfortunately, I haven't had enough time to discern that yet.
Well, I mean, it's both. I mean, it's always going to be a little both. How much is that play in this instance? From some of what I've seen, unless people are just outright not telling the truth, I have seen a lot of people that claim to not be affected by it that said it.
Sure.
They don't want it that's going forward.
Sure.
And I tend to believe that. Like, I'm like, okay, for some reason I do tend to believe that.
I mean, you know, my selfish stance would be let's have the content because I'm a content creator. I have my account. I can do things with that.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I mean, it's a hard call that you could go either way. And most of the time, what call are you going to make? You're going to make the one that it does the most good for the most amount of people that you can, which I think is the direction they tried to go in. And then, you know, everyone was like, whoa, 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 whoa. And I mean, and it's easy to say, whoa, 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 whoa. Now, if part of that, whoa, whoa, whoa was, okay, well, don't log in then until everyone else can. I don't know if we would feel so feverish.
Right.
I don't know if the solidarity would go that far. Although it would be scary if it did, right? Like,
yeah. And you know, I made a point in the article that one of the reasons that they will be able to recover from this is because of the buildup that's happened over the last 2 years, you know, going back to when we coined our famous This Is RuneScape 3 term with updates like the Needle Skips, the Mining and Smithing rework, Clue Scroll overhaul, Deep Sea Fishing, Player Owned Farm, all those kind of updates that were just grade A quality on release. That built up the trust, which let them pull off things like archaeology minus, you know, that Anachronia drought. And now we're still using the trust that was built up from that plus archaeology plus the tail end of 2020 to get through this.
Yeah. You know, I don't think, I mean, I could be completely off here, but I don't feel like the initial problem, like, though it's awful, it's literally probably the worst problem you could have as a MMO.
Yep.
But I never felt like people were hating specifically against, like, Jagex when it came to that. I think it was one of these, like, oh, awful things.
Yeah.
So I actually think this is going to be a good thing in the end, because I really take it to heart when they said, oh, we're discovering all this stuff. I think we're going to end up with a better game because of the people that are working on it now are going to have more, a better understanding of, I mean, just soup to nuts, how, why these things work the way they do.
Yeah.
So that, like,
it's almost, you know, like the, I mean, it's almost like the fire that burns down the house. Everybody gets out okay. You're able to recover a few of the lifelong possessions, but you rebuild that house newer and better.
Yeah, I mean, I think the system 100% will be, or
yeah,
could be newer and better. It's at least on the radar now, right? Like, oh, okay, we might want to make this a priority. Because it's a BFD.
Now, other content in the pipeline in addition to the Rex Matriarchs includes the fix for the Elite Dungeons, ninja fixes, including the Pymus combat fixes that's been talked about since December and went into QA since, the second part of the anniversary quest, and the Easter event, which is, of course, on tap for Easter weekend, which is coming quick. They also answered a few questions about the beta, such as how are players chosen. They chose a broad selection of different types of players to ensure that all types are covered. And what if something's not noticed that was missing in the beta? So you play the beta, or you go through the process of recovering your account and it gets restored, but something is still missing. There'll be a Discord channel for things set up like that, where people can get priority support. And of course, they'll also be available through the regular customer support channels as well. So people don't need to worry about that. And, okay.
Well, it just, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to be this guy either, but I mean, how many people are going to be like, oh crap, you lost my Saren Gabo? No, I had one. I really did. I totally had one, Shane. It's not there anymore.
I don't want to talk about this, because I don't want this to be true.
But you feel the same way I do.
That there could be someone who would say that, yes.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if the account history is gone, that you got sometime in February, like, what do you do? You have to take screenshots of everything you get now? You can't ask that of players.
No. And that's the worst thing. Like, there might actually be someone that it legitimately
right.
is in
and
that
I,
situation.
And I don't, but, and I don't want to think that somebody would abuse that either.
But, man.
I really don't want to have that thought.
I mean, have you... Do you just have your public chat off? Like,
no, I have it on.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I feel like there could
be... Thank you for throwing a spanner into that machine there, Tannis.
You're welcome.
And that's my frustration here, is that I don't want somebody to abuse that. But I think you need to ask the question, what if someone has a high-profile item like that that goes missing? How do you handle that?
Well, how you handle that is you recover them the best that you could have, and you apologize profusely, and you hire a crisis management wizard to help you get out of it, and... You go back to the last solid thing you have.
Do you think they've
forward.
Done that? That they've hired some kind of external advisor?
I don't know.
This?
I mean, there's a noticeable difference. Now,
right. And see, that's something you and I always notice is that there was a shift when Mod Shawnee left. There was a shift when Mod Porky left. And there's a shift when JD left. And everybody always had to adjust to being the new person on the block who was the face of the community.
Yeah.
And Mod Julia has been doing well, but everything that we've seen communication-wise, not just from CM, but just in general from the company, is there.
Yeah, it's been spot on. I mean, I think it's very possible, but at the same time, I mean, isn't there something about being forged in fire?
I mean,
this is where you get the best of people.
And putting the players first.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, I don't want to take any credit away in that regard, but I don't know if you can. I mean, can we reanimate Frankenstein even with the pieces, or is it always going to? It's better to move on.
Yeah,
like I almost wonder that. Now I'm saying that as someone that wasn't logged out. You know, if it wasn't saving my game for a month, maybe I'd have a different opinion. I don't know. But I feel like it's creating such uncertainty and a mess that maybe... Yeah,
and the number one thing I've heard from people who want to get back in is that, hey, we just want our accounts back. We just want to play. Yeah. That's the number one thing I have heard personally.
I've seen that too. And that's why I'm going, okay... It's a horrible mistake, but maybe you go back to the time and you compensate. It's got to be cheaper in the long run, right? Like, it'd have to be.
Yeah.
You could give everyone Premiere that was affected, and it would probably be fine.
But think about an Iron Man character who got a key drop, say, from Araxor that enabled them to get a T-92 weapon.
Yeah,
in that interim, like, what do you do about that situation?
Maybe I think that's
why the restoration is so key.
Yeah, and the restoration I wouldn't do it for one group and not another, but I'm just saying, like, I don't think you're going to get very many fraudulent claims coming in from Iron Man, because what's the point of being an Iron Man?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they did that. It just, to me, that wouldn't make sense. But anyone else, is there an incentive? I don't know. How much is a God Bow right now, Shane? Is that an incentive?
Maybe. I don't know.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But, like, it's not the same incentive for an Iron Man.
Yeah, fair enough. 1.7 bill.
I don't know. I've seen people lie for less.
Yeah. Yeah. And finally, can you get your account back as is? And in the beta, there'll be an opportunity for people to specify if you're happy with your account. And if you are, there'll be a path to get people back into game ASAP. But the goal is not going to be to take any shortcuts. And that's the live stream.
Isn't that the approach that we would want them to take?
Yep.
I mean, I can't fault anything in here.
Like, no.
There's no shortcuts. They're doing...
Everything is on T of where it should be.
Yeah. It makes me go, well, could you imagine, what if they do get them all back? What if they get them all back and there is no, like, everyone has all their stuff? Like, could you imagine?
Divine intervention.
Or they have wizards because... What was it? Telemetry was not supposed to do anything like this.
Yeah.
I mean, but that might turn... Who knows? Maybe you can apply that somewhere, somehow, do something. You know? I mean, I don't know.
Who knows? Who knows? But overall, I think to sum this up, they're still on path to do what needs to be done. They're handling it very well. And... whether or not the game update on Monday should have been postponed, I'm still on the fence of that one. I've not seen an argument for me personally that moves me. Sure. I mean, it'll be nice to get everybody all in together, but at the same time, maybe we should have gone ahead with it. I'm not sure.
You know, it's selfish of me too, but I'm fine with waiting. I mean,
I'm fine with waiting as well. You know? I'm also fine with going ahead on Monday. It doesn't really bother me either way. So, let us know what you guys think in the comments, folks. Should we wait or should we push forward on this? But you know, that's not all for the live stream. We do have a question on this from T. Wetz, who is wondering, says, one of the unlucky 1% here, and I have a question for your next podcast. I'm curious as to what you all believe will be adequate compensation for those locked out, considering, and here's a very key word, considering opportunity cost. And, you know, does this include things like dailies, keys, VizWax, and so on and so forth?
Well, the opportunity cost would be a lot more, depending on how Monday would have went, right?
Exactly.
Now we do have a discussion about opportunity cost.
Right, and perhaps that's the lens to put this through, is that delaying the update on Monday is the correct move, specifically from an opportunity cost standpoint, if you were one of the locked out accounts, because say you're a PVMer and you wanted to go to the Matriarchs, but there's a drop that's, say, only 50 mil on day one, and it drops to 20 mil later in the week. How do you feel about that?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's another argument right there that people can make. It's not the argument I'm making, but it's an argument people could make.
I think you have to start with membership, right?
Membership, like, bare minimum for time loss.
Bare minimum.
Absolutely.
And then I think I would probably do some kind of a oddments package, because you could use that towards XP that you feel that you've lost.
Yeah, and I'm gonna make a point here. The oddments should be, if they went the oddments route rather than just, you know, pure lamps. You know, choice is good. The oddments should
good
be
because
enough.
You could do the cosmetics.
Oddments should be enough to buy enough lamps to complete 5 medium daily challenges each and every day that you missed.
5 medium challenges, yeah.
5 medium lamps, because that's what you get from the daily challenges. That would be, I think, my basis for the oddments cost in terms of doing that. I think that's definitely going to be in there. Yeah.
If you're a purist that doesn't want it, then you still have options.
You still have options for that. I think along with the refunded, or not the refunded, but the added membership, you should also get the keys that you missed as well, perhaps credited, the daily keys that you missed, credit that to the account. I think that would be good. But
yeah,
I think we're still talking here bare minimum category, honestly.
Well, we have to talk minimum because there's no other way to talk about what you lost out on, right?
Yeah.
Because who knows? Maybe you might have lost out on a die.
We'll talk about that later.
On nothing.
We'll talk about that later.
You might have lost out on some goblin mail. I mean, who knows? That's why, like, it's
and you can't extrapolate RNG.
No. So I mean, that's why I feel like. The 5 daily challenges, okay, that's, I think, probably an average play session maybe to do your challenges or what. That, it's at least the bare minimum that people probably are doing. And even if it's more than some people would have played anyway, fine, good. I'd rather it be that way than less, you know.
Right.
I don't know what else you can do though.
I think people should
get
also 2 free cosmetics of their choice from Solomon's General Store.
Oh yeah, we could do some Solomon credit.
That would be good. alongside that, I think that a title, The Locked Out, perhaps would be interesting. And, you know, assuming you get your account back as it was, let's make light of this, perhaps, if you want to. Though I don't know if having a title called The Locked Out would be a good thing, but I know if I was locked out and I got my account back, I'd be making light of it at the end.
I mean, I think it would be funny. Yeah, I mean, it would be funny. It would be a great meme for the community
right.
at the same time.
And it would be one of those rare things that's kind of left over, like the half jug of wine.
Right, but I think Jagex is going to view this like a pandemic, right? Like, ain't nobody going to talk about it once it's done. If you get everybody back and everything, we ain't mentioning it ever again. Like, that never happened.
Right. That's another way.
I don't know.
And I think that's what makes it so hard, is that you're walking this line. Do you, in effect, bring light to it, or do you just move away from it as quick as you can?
Well, in the past, they've shown that they will bring light to it. So, I mean, you have precedent on your side, Shane.
Yeah, but at the same time, you can't just go, you know, say, hey, everybody here's a choice of a free tier 90 weapon because of this. I don't think that would be fair either.
You can't. That's what I'm saying. Like,
and this is what we're... This is the wall we're walking up against. This is very difficult to decide.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what about Vizwax? Because Mr. T. Wetz here mentions that, I assume, Mr.
I'm not.
Like, I personally don't do Vizwax daily, so it wouldn't be a thing for me. But there are people that do
that. Oh, I get what he's saying. So he missing out on that wax every day.
Yeah.
Oh, well, and you know what? There are some people that probably are doing
it. And I think it's like 500K for what you get.
Oh, I mean, probably at least. Yeah.
So if you start considering that, what else do you roll into this?
I think you got. Yeah, but then, you know, I lost an opportunity when, you know, attack potion went up 3 cents.
Tannis Vizwax is currently at 13K a piece.
And
you get 100 a day.
Right. But now you got to account for, well, I could have saved up my Vizwax and sold it on Friday when it was up 4%. Like, it's hard. Like, I don't think we can do monetary.
I don't think we can do in-game items, honestly. I don't think that's
no. That's why happen. I mean, that's why I was trying to, you know, think of like the oddments, you know, the solemn store. Like, I guess we already have our presets in our bank space, or that would have been the first thing I would have recommended. Anything that is a ease of, you know, just
how about some RuneScape at 20 merchandise?
Yes, some swag. Everyone gets a swag bag.
There you go. Do that. Make it like the RuneFest swag bag. Which I don't know if we went through on our RuneFest episodes in the past, but they're actually quite elaborate. Believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah, okay. They are.
Well, then you already know how to do it.
That's such a simple answer. In addition, okay, so here's how you do it. Membership for the Days Missed at the Basics. Enough oddments to buy medium lamps for 5 daily challenges each day, so 5 medium lamps a day. You don't need to spend them on that, but if you want to, go for it. Then a few extra oddments on top to maybe buy some cosmetics from that store. The keys that you've missed from your membership. 2 free cosmetics from Solomon's General Store. Maybe a title, if we want to make light of this. And a RuneScape at 20 swag bag. Similar to what people would get coming into RuneFest.
Yep.
And that does it.
You're welcome. You're welcome, guys. We figured it out.
Yeah. That does it. That does it, I think.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I mean, it's as fair as what we can do, right? Like, I don't... No matter where you put, draw a line, it's going to be arbitrary because RNG.
Yeah. Yeah. Knows. All right, I think that answers that question. I'm going to go visit the Rune Goldberg machine tonight.
Yeah, I bet you didn't realize they were.
No, I didn't realize they were that much.
Don't forget your rune crafting cape too, Shane.
Yeah, I got give that. You,
yeah, that gives you the other.
It gives you the last rune, right?
Yeah.
And then the first ones are easy to get, I believe, from the chat.
The chat.
Yeah. Okay. Well, speaking of RuneScape at 20 gear, I received a package in the mail today containing some gear. So should we have a look at this?
What's in the box, Shane?
I don't know. And see, this is interesting. Let me just pull this up here. I sent you a picture of the package. So do you want to start with the one of the cylinders or the box?
What's in the box, Shane?
I got two cylinders and a box. Which one do you want to pick?
Oh, let's do cylinder.
All right. Small cylinder or large cylinder?
Oh, let's start small and work our way
all
up.
All right. Yeah. And for those on the video version, we do have a video of this going on here. I managed to put together a little bit of an overhead shot here from this.
In, show and tell.
In short time that we had to do this. You can, of course, see the notes here that we use for this. And my desk, we got, of course, RuneScape at 20 wrapping paper and a sticker on top holding it together. So this is a bit of a cylinder. So we're going to start with this one. Feels kind of soft. I don't want to ruin the paper, honestly. I'm going to grab some scissors here and use that as a way to pull this so I don't rip anything. See? Everybody should have a trusty pair of scissors in your desk when you're doing these podcasts. Just don't play with them. Because, you know, if you play with things when you're doing the podcast, there's a chance you hurt yourself. And that includes everything, of course. Scissors, pens, you name it. Okay. And for first thing here, we have a mouse mat.
Oh, nice.
But it's very blue and green themed, nice and soft. Okay, so that's item number one. We'll put that off to the side. What do you want to do next? Do you want to do the box or the other cylinder?
The other cylinder.
All right. Put the paper aside for later. I like keeping paper like that. Now, this one is a long cylinder, probably about 40, 50 centimeters long, 10 centimeters wide. I don't know what that is in inches for you guys here in the U.S., but nonetheless, let's begin with this. I'll try and figure out how exactly this is supposed to open up. I don't know what this is. Might be some kind of art ream or something, if I had to guess. Do you hear that thud? See, that's what that looks like on the other end there. And I'll have pictures of this for anybody listening on audio as well, just because, you know, we are still an audio-first production. Dramatic effect. And We have a sheet of white paper here, folks. No, I'm only kidding. There's something on the other side. We have a map of the RuneScape world on very high quality black paper, golden print, golden map detailing here. And you can see here, for anybody looking on video, the shine associated with this.
Ooh, you want to frame it, Shane?
I think we're going to have to do something like that.
Yeah.
We, of course, this is a really interesting map because, of course, you know, we have our own game updates that we get for RS3, but this map also has the RuneScape Old School continent of Zaya. It's got Fossil Island on it. I believe that's I can't tell if that's our version of Fossil Island or theirs. I think it's theirs, but nonetheless, the mainland is 100% covered, and it's just so – it's very pristine. This is exactly what you'd expect for a 20-year celebration showcasing the continent that we have at play here. This is really neat, really neat. And I'll, of course, include photos of this after the fact for anybody who wants to just look at the photos of this, but wonderful, wonderful detailing there. I'll do a quick rotation on that. And there we have it. All right. And now, of course, what you've been wondering about, the box.
What's in the box, Shane?
And last but not least, the box. The box featuring another 20 years of RuneScape sticker on it. Just going to make sure that this is safe here. All right. Take a guess what's in the box, Tanis. Because I haven't opened it yet, so this is going to be a surprise for you and me.
It will be... It's going to be a clue. Something...
A clue scroll?
No. It'll be an egg.
An egg?
Kind of an egg. Yeah.
And what's going to happen with the egg?
Like a fossil egg.
All right. We have a card here. 20 years is more than just a date on the calendar. It represents two decades of memories, adventures, stories, and friendships for Gilenor's many millions of inhabitants. As a content creator, you've taken your love for RuneScape and shared it with the world. You've helped players experience everything our game and community has to offer. You've lifted us to heights we've never thought possible. Regardless of how you express yourself, your talent and passion are an indispensable part of the RuneScape universe. As we celebrate RuneScape's 20th anniversary throughout 2021, we wanted you to offer this small token of our gratitude. We hope the next 20 years will be even better than the first, and that your incredible work is there with us through the journey. And that's the card that's on top.
Hmm.
And now into the box we go. Oh, I'm going to have a mess to clean up after this. I got packing peanuts.
Oh, boy.
Well, not packing peanuts. I actually got packing cardboard from the looks of it. All right. So, item number one. There's multiple items in here. Boy, this is a lot. We have a set of RuneScape rune pins and a RuneScape old school logo pin as well for the first things that I pulled out of the box. I appreciate like, that the exposure on this is pins. Like things you can pin to a lapel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We got those. More packing cardboard. A rectangular box. And, of course, these are all crafted items by Angelscapes, of course. Let's see what's in this one. Oh, this one's a little bit difficult to open. And this one is the Tutorial Island and Lumbridge commemorative, I guess, desk stand for 20 years of RuneScape.
That's cool.
Amazing detail on these ones as well. That's wonderful. That's really high quality work. Next, more packing peanuts. More. As I mentioned, we're going to have a bit of a mess to clean up here after the show.
Just a little.
Just a little one. We have a blue party hat. Foam version. Oh. Foam version, not paper. Everybody, of course, was hoping that would be something as if it was in real life as well, of course, that it would be an in-game item, but I'm afraid not. We also have the pair of colored FancyScapes RuneScape socks that's on the merchandise store as well. And a defense RuneScape face mask. Of course, for everybody still going through the pandemic.
Oh. Well, that's everybody.
Most everybody.
Most everybody. That's cool.
I'm still working on this. I'm going to move the box. And then I think this one has the packaging that gives it away. Two hats. I'm not sure what the first one is. It looks kind of maybe like the line of a dragon or something. And then a hat showcasing Bob's brilliant axes. Nice black and blue.
Oh,
fun little beagle alert. And then the dragon here as well off to the side that you can see. I like hats. So those are very nice. Then I think we're almost through here. You can tell that this podcast doesn't do these normally. Yeah, now we're through. And the last item is a RuneScape at 20 t-shirt. 20 years of RuneScape showcasing the world map on front of the t-shirt. Amazing stuff. Amazing stuff. Oh. And of course, for anybody who wants to see the exact variants of this, I'll include all of this in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. But I didn't know this package was coming until earlier in the week, and I thought, okay, this might work for Friday. Huge, tremendous thank you out there for Jagex for sending this along. And, you know, they, of course, thank the content creators, but I think we wouldn't be where we were without the game itself. And we started off early on in January talking about RuneScape at 20 and how this was something that was going to be a huge milestone for the game throughout the entire year. We've been around doing things since 2004 in various forms. The podcast has been around since 2005, and you know, it's been a real ride seeing everything from the beginning until now, and to see these things all sort of personified in 20 years of merchandise like this, it's just amazing to be part of this community. But full pictures and whatnot will, of course, be available at update.rsvmb.com for anybody who is interested in seeing those. But thank you so much, Jagex, for sending these out. Very nice. Very nice. All right. I think we should thank some Patreon supporters at this time. Tanis, what do you think?
I think so, and I think I'm jealous, man. You got some cool stuff. I like that shirt.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's got gold plating on it. Well, not gold plating, but it's got shiny gold celebrating 20 years of RuneScape.
Yeah, that map is pretty sweet, too.
Yeah.
Everything looks really nice. I thought maybe they would send you, like, a thing.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
Like, Christmas here. Like, wow.
I just wonder if the face mask is something that we'll have to keep using into 2022.
I hope not.
All right. This week, of course, this podcast wouldn't be possible without our community. So thank you to our wonderful Patreon supporters for making this episode possible. This week, I would like to thank Andrew C., Brock H., Cameron, Christian S., Cook Me Plox, Diana, Duramax, Jade Gizmo, Gabrielle, Jason S., Keski, Kyle, Lucky Ducky, Nora, Pernasius, Rastafa, Ricky A., Soup Finder, Stub Eve, Tanner JW, The Naked Captain, The Lion, Tom V, and Zant. Thank you all of you for your support. Truly means the world to us. Enables us to do what we do here at RSVMB Update and share, of course, the world of RuneScape with you guys. And if you guys want to learn more about this, just check us out at Patreon at patreon.com/RSVMB. For as little as $1 a month, you gain access to the entire back catalog of monthly bits and, of course, help fund the cost for hosting and production of this podcast and everything else that we do. For $3 a month, you'll receive a special VIP rank on Discord and a mention on the podcast at the start of the month and access to high-quality stereo AAC versions of the show. And in addition to everything else, we do also have a tier at $5 a month where you receive a shout-out on the podcast every week and gain exclusive access to the outtakes that we use to make the clip show at the end of the year. So thank you so much for everybody for making what we do here possible. And next weekend, when hopefully we'll have some semblance of people will be able to join us in game, we are doing the monthly round table on March 27th. So please do, of course, if you're a Patreon supporter, look to the Patreon website for information on how you can join that. But we look forward to chatting with all of you, of course. So thanks so much, everyone.
Thank you, guys.
All right. So, moving on, question from Diana this week. Which part of RuneScape history would you like to see explored in an archaeology site? And do you have any predictions for the Elder God Wars?
It's hard. But I don't know if this is possible. But remember, like, so the Prif we have now is not the Prif that was there before Saren shattered, right?
Correct.
Or is it?
Correct. It has been rebuilt.
Okay. It has been rebuilt. I want to excavate the original Prif.
Ooh, that'd be interesting because there's that whole library underneath where, you know, we initially saw as the entrance to the city in the quest. Okay, I could get behind that.
Yeah.
I always thought Elven would be interesting as well, like you said. And you know, hey, if they can't do it on Prif, maybe Tardiad, right?
Oh yeah. Well, wait, hold on, Tardiad. How about the forest place, the Triven? You know,
where
the other elves? The outside of Priv.
Oh, Tyranin. Yeah, sure. It could be around there. Absolutely. And it could be kind of like Orthon, too, where it's located around a number of different areas. It doesn't have to be one contiguous block like Everlight is, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay, so Tyranin slash the old Prith or Tardiad. You know, I think if they are on the Elder God Wars front, I think Frenisgay would be an interesting one, especially after Azanadra's quest.
Yeah, I mean, and I can see that happening because we're looking at archaeology on Gilinor, right? But at some point, someone's going to get the idea of, well, let's go discover what's on all these other worlds, you know, on these home worlds. Let's look into it. So you would have Frenisgay, Tardiad's, you know, one. You know what else we could do? We could turn Tuska into a archaeology site, and, like, dig into him and find all the like artifacts from all the other worlds and stuff.
I kind of want to forget that happened.
Well, we'll make something good out of it.
Oh, okay. All right, that's an option.
Yeah.
I'm going to continue on my discussion from last week. 4 and 3.
4 and 3?
Yeah, the wilderness, ancient city in the wilderness.
Yeah.
I think that would be a good one.
It's a good one.
I'm going to go with 4 and 3, I think. I think I got to go with that one. Your suggestion of the elves is very good as well. As for predictions of the Elder God Wars, I think I got to go back to my kind of lightning rod theory of using the player's shadow anima powers to maybe just have us as the World Guardian be the answer to the revision. I don't know, and as I said on that episode, I don't know if the World Guardian's powerful enough to prevent that from happening, to have the Elder God's eggs hatching and having that energy destroy and consume anything. I don't know if the World Guardian is powerful enough for that, but I think an interesting way to kind of just bring things back to basics would be to have the World Guardian, in effect, act as a lightning rod with that, and with that, also have the World Guardian's powers, after this happens, completely be sapped out, have all of the corporeal gods, and that's the key word there, corporeal gods' powers be sapped out as well. Because, you know what, one of the things they wanted to do with that Tuska event and invention was focus on the godless. And I think what perfect way would there be to get back to the basics and focus on the godless after this entire Elder God Wars era is done?
Once it's done, I mean, then hopefully the godless get what they were always after anyway, right, which is for the gods to leave us the hell alone.
Yeah, I also foresee Saren shattering herself again, and Zaros is probably going to end up dead, if that's possible. I can see those two things happening more likely than the first things I mentioned. That's the way I feel currently going into it.
I just don't know what's going to happen, man. I feel a twinge of truth when you talk about Saren shattering herself, and that bums me out.
Because she's a very interesting character, isn't she?
Yeah, I really, really like that character. I don't even have a prediction or anything like that right now. I think we might get that city back someday, Shane.
Which city?
The 4 and 3. I think we're going to get that city.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
I think they're going to do away with the wilderness the way that is someday.
Yeah.
And the vehicle will be to bring that city back.
Yeah. You think they could do that through the Elder God Wars?
I don't know.
All right.
Maybe. I don't know.
Fair enough. Thank you, Diana, for that question. Next one is from JamAndy52. If you could meet any RS player in real life, who would it be? You have an answer to this, Tanis?
I don't know. Probably my wonderful co-host and up there in the friendly north. I'd like to meet Shane. I'd like to meet Earth. I'd like to meet Brew. I met Merc. He came up here and built my computer.
Right. And I think this is and I was going the same angle on that one too, because, you know, meeting high profile RS players for me is something that, in effect, I haven't been meeting them in person. I met a few of them at RuneFest, the one I went to. And, you know, as a result of that, because of that there's a community around the podcast, it's not something I immediately think of doing. My instinctive reaction to this question is that I want to meet our community, our listeners.
Yeah.
That's my instinctive reaction to this, honestly.
Yep.
Rather than a specific person out there with that. RuneFest is a great vehicle for that. We've done similar stuff to that with Clan Quest as well. They're very big on the meetups, so it's something I have experience with. And it's a very interesting experience. You know, pretty much everybody turns out to be exactly the same way you imagine them being. At least that's been the case, the way that I've experienced it as well. And the reason I say our community is because, you know, we talk about what 20 years of RuneScape means, but, you know, put simply, it means our community. And our community is very important. So that's why I would say if I could meet any RS player in real life, it would be you guys out here who we're talking to right now. And, you know, I think we also just need to take a moment and realize that with podcasts, we're not lecturing. We're not giving a sermon, right?
This ain't the sermon. I guess we can preach.
We could. But we're having a discussion with our listeners. And the most important thing that podcasts do, in addition to being syndicated on the podcast platforms, is that they foster that discussion with their listeners. That's why we run a friends chat. That's why I run with friends on. That's why we have a Discord. And that's why we don't charge for access via Patreon. Because, you know, that's something that some content creators on Patreon like to do. But that's something, when we started our Patreon up, I said, no, we're not doing that, because we're an open community. Anybody can come into Discord and chat with us. Anybody who has an idea for the podcast can pitch it. And if you pitch it, and it's a very interesting idea, hell, we're just going to have you on the show. That's what we did with Joe when he had his RuneScape lore videos, which, interestingly, we have another one of those later on in the show. But it's got to be the community for me, honestly.
Yeah, that's what makes the game, right?
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day,
that's what it is. Thank you, Jam Andy, for that question. Very nice. Very nice. If you guys want to send your own questions in, you can email them to questions@rsbnb.com, or you can send them in on Twitter. Just send them to @rsbnb, or you can leave them on the form at update.rsbnb.com/ask. All right, we're going to start ramping down here for this week's episode. And, you know, we've talked before at one of our roundtables about Microsoft Flight Simulator, and, you know, one of the things that we did in the December one is that rather than playing in RuneScape, we took to the skies in Microsoft Flight Simulator. And Flight Simulator's been a pick of the week before, but one thing I haven't done as pick of the week has been one of the tools that I use in Flight Simulator. It is a mod for Flight Simulator called the A32NX that is a community-driven project that amps up the Airbus A320neo in Microsoft Flight Simulator with the goal of bringing it as close to reality as possible. And, you know, you can have Microsoft Flight Simulator, and that's wonderful as it is visually, but if you just want that extra level of realism, extra level of options and challenge to it, that's where something like this comes into play. It's a very active mod, very active community around it, and it just adds so many fun little features to the plane itself. And you've seen me fly this before, and this is what we flew at the round table too. This same exact plane, and it's pretty advanced, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you guys take it to a whole another level. But I thought it was kind of neat. You definitely, this was a much harder approach than what I think we did at the round table, which was, I mean, that was hard for me.
We went to Vancouver on the round table.
Yeah, you guys did just fine. Where was that you were going? Like
The recent one I showed you?
Yeah.
Queenstown, New Zealand.
Have fun with that, man. I mean, I wanted to go to New Zealand, but I guess I'll take a boat.
Yeah, lots of mountains around that southern approach there, and combined with the A32NX and Microsoft Flight Simulator, really is just an experience in its own as well. So if you are a Flight Simulator 2020 user and you fly the A320, this is definitely something you should look into if you haven't so far. And it's completely free and open source. I don't know if I mentioned that, but finding something that takes a plane to this level of detail is one thing, but finding it for free is another thing entirely as well. Because some of these planes, an X-plane that do similar to this, you're looking at $80 to $100 for just one aircraft that you would have to spend. Wow. So this is 100% free.
Nice.
And your pick of the week?
I'm going with the Third Age of RuneScape Part 2 of 3. This is our friend Joe. And
His
newest video. He always does just a bang-up job of this stuff. This is how I learn lore. I mean, I kind of get some, through osmosis being around all you guys, and I've, watched videos in the past or this or that, but Joe does the best job I've seen to date in explaining that, and it's great because, like, it's hard for me to get this through dialogue boxes.
Yeah, because there's so much text that you have to read for that, and it's all in game.
Yeah, this is so immersive, and I just, all except for that annoying little dwarf. I don't know who he had voice act that guy.
You mean Archmage Azdaran?
Yeah, that guy. That guy sounds familiar, but I can't put my finger on it.
That would be me.
Oh, that's why it was. Okay.
Questscaping was also in this as Archon Babel.
Oh, okay. Well, that's kind of neat.
In this one. I think Diana was also in another one as well. So,
Was she? Oh,
yeah. Okay. So our community has a good level of collaboration with Joe and his team that puts this together. He produces them. He's got a writer. And many people, of course, help as well. So, these videos are one of a kind. They're something that you really ought to budget the full 30 minutes in this case to sit down with for this one. If you're the kind of person that goes to YouTube and you prefer the short 5 to 7 minute videos, then you really want to budget a full half hour for this one. You should treat it as if it's going to be a TV show. In fact, you should treat all the videos in that way because you really just have to immerse yourself with this and listen to the story that's being told about the Third Age. And of course, this is part 2 of 3. Part 1 of 3 came out a couple weeks ago, and part 3 of 3 will also be on the way as well. And so much is done from this, from collating all the various lore together, the cinematography around it, wrangling people for voice acting, getting them to do multiple takes, editing their audio, and putting it all together. So big props go out to him and his team on this one. And I can see why you did that as a pick of the week. That's pretty good. Pretty good.
Like I said, I love them. They're always awesome.
All right. Let's do some achievements. Starting off, we have Robbie with 120 mining on March 18th. Balbazard got 99 defense on the 17th. We also have Holy Nicholas with 99 archaeology on the 17th. Achazi with 99 fishing on the 17th as well. Lazy Colonel got 99 fire making on the 17th, rounding that one out.
And then on March the 17th, oh, St. Paddy's Day, we have Ocean with 99 herb lore. We have Seth Roth with 99 agility on the 15th. We have Cybadio with 99 mining on the 14th. We've got Max Quest Points with 99 strength on the 14th. And Zodia Child with 120 constitution on March 11th. Nice job, everyone.
Nicely done. Nicely done. And, of course, as we wrap this one up, if you like what you hear on Update, you want to help us out, you want a guest on the show, maybe you want to write an article for us, we do have a Help Wanted form that you can fill out at update.rsvmb.com/help. We appreciate any submissions that you might have, depending whatever you want to do. So if you're interested in helping out your favorite podcast, definitely fill that out. But I believe we could start wrapping this one up. So what have you been up to this week?
I'm fishing. Not only in RuneScape, but I found that I can fish. I can play Fishing Planet and fish in RuneScape, and it's like awesome. Yeah, it's great. Because I mean, you know, fishing in RuneScape, it's okay. It's best done in a reclined position. You know, chilled, relaxed. But you kind of need something else too. So I'm getting fishing just all around.
All right. Any yak track?
Yeah. I kind of burnt around 12 or 13. I didn't make it very far. I mean, I'm probably not done, but for right now.
Yeah. You're going to have lots of time to finish this one.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I've just been doing just fishing.
All right. Sounds good. I personally completed Yak Track Task 35, which I went back to the construction contracts for that because I need to get 567K construction XP.
Oh, how long did it take you, Shane?
Hour and a half-ish, I want to say.
Okay. So they didn't quite end up being safe cracking, did they?
No. But they're decent still.
But they're decent, yeah.
Yeah. And then following that was task 36, which was runecrafting or clue scrolls. And you know which one I chose with that, right?
Runecrafting?
No, because it would have been 400 plus soul runes.
Ooh.
Yeah, and that takes a while. So I chose I chose clue scrolls, did a few master clues, and lo and behold, wound up with an ice die, which apparently is worth $1.4
billion. Wow. That's yeah. Some guy's got all the luck.
apparently they're around a 1 in 11,000 drop chance rate.
Wow. Well, that'll give you a little start there on your gear that you're going to need to put together.
Yeah. I also, of course, keep in mind when I was doing archaeology, I got two spear tips as well. I sold one of those, bought ascensions. And, you know, I don't know what I'm honestly going to do with the money. I don't.
Well,
so
I kind of need some money. I mean,
I mean, if you want something, I could buy you a stick.
Hey, I'll take a stick.
But, yeah, that surprised me. But, yeah, you know, clue scrolls are always fun, and it was a master. So take that for what it's worth. But I believe that's it for this episode of RSBNB Update, unless there's anything else you'd like to bring up, talk about.
No, I think that's it. I mean, you know, just another quiet week, you know, not much going on.
Yeah, and we had some fun along the way, and that's the most important thing, right?
Yep, that's right.
If you want to subscribe to us, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, Pocket Cast, Stitcher, and even YouTube at youtube.com/RSPNB. But, you know, if you want the audio version and you're just not sure where to get us, visit update.rsbnb.com/subscribe, and you can click on whichever one works for you, and subscribe to us, get the podcast delivered automatically to you. And we will see you guys next week for another episode of RSPNB Update. Take care, everyone.
See ya.